Well, almost 4 years have passed now since Woman's Missionary Union adopted the Aims for Advancement. And the change came, as you recall, in response to needs felt and expressed by the WMU leaders throughout the convention territory. Now, when the Aims were launched, you remember that they were received by the members with enthusiasm and energy, and eagerly responded to by all who were interested in change. Now, most of you have been on the Birmingham staff for some 4 years, and now I think it'd be a good idea if we took a look at the Aims for Advancement.
Ms. McMurray, I was on the committee which outlined the plan of Aims, and I can't resist mentioning with what reluctance some relinquished the standard of excellence. Change sometimes appears difficult or almost impossible, but this change has proved to be a great blessing to Women's Missionary Union.
Now, speaking of change, all of us are aware that it takes a flexible individual to be a member of Woman's Missionary Union. We are a dynamic organization, changing and growing to meet the challenges and the demands of our times.
Changes are good for us occasionally, anyway. I read somewhere that a woman is old if her notions harden before her arteries.
Well, never let it be said that my notions harden first. And now back to the Aims for Advancement. You know, it might be a good idea to point out that the Aims, though adapted to the maturity and the interest level of each organization, incorporate the fundamentals of Woman's Missionary Union: mission study, prayer, stewardship, and community missions. Suppose we take a more detailed look at each aim, shall we? And we might review some of the accomplishments of the past year and maybe look into the future a bit to see how we are progressing. And we'll also use then the statement of the WMS aims. And you recall that that first aim is world awareness.
Mrs. McMurray, just the other day, Laurella and I were discussing how much we appreciate the explanation of awareness which you gave in Chapter 5 of your new book, Educating Youth in Missions. It seems to capture the heart of what we are trying to do in this area.
Well, thank you, Billy. You'll recall that I received my idea for this particular point from an editorial that appeared in House Beautiful.
The three stages of awareness fascinated me. First, observation, taking notice or looking at a thing. Second, insight and understanding, seeing with perception. And third, participation.
The third stage, or participation, is the result we desire from all we do in developing world awareness. Participation in prayer, participation in giving, participation in service. As Ms. McMurray suggested, it is not enough just to pray, "God, make me aware," but, "God, make me a participant."
Well, of course, you know that we all work in three areas in developing world awareness: in mission study, in missionary reading, and missionary programs. Now, several of you have served on the committee of the Missionary Education Council, where our home and foreign mission series study books are developed. Who can tell us now what we'll be studying in 1960-61?
The Foreign Mission Series for this fall, we will study Spanish America. The WMS members will study Across the Bridge by Frank K. Means. The YWA book is Caribbean Quest by Frank W. Patterson.
I'm interested in the pronunciation, Ethelie. I've heard both Caribbean and Caribbean.
Well, both are acceptable, I believe. In the New Webster's Dictionary, Caribbean is first, as the preferred pronunciation, but both are listed. Which do you use, Mrs. McMurray?
Well, I say Caribbean. It's just an old habit I don't seem to be able to break.
The intermediate book is Buenos Dias by William M. Haverfield.
I just know enough to recognize that Buenos Dias is good morning. Is that book about Mexico?
Yes, you'll recall that Mr. Haverfield, the author, once served as a missionary in Mexico.
While the intermediates are in Mexico, the juniors will be studying about Argentina using the book New Home, New Friends by Ruth C. Culpepper.
All of us are especially proud of this book. Because we know the author so well. You'll recall that Mrs. Culpepper was formerly a missionary to Argentina.
There's one more book. The one for the study by primary is called Who? Me? By Roberta Ryan, a missionary in Chile.
Lorella, you served on the Home Missions Committee at the Missionary Education Council, didn't you? Well, now, suppose you preview for us some of the Home Mission series for the study in 1961.
First of all, the theme for the 61 series is Our Baptist Heritage in Missions. This is a tie-in with the Baptist Jubilee Advance emphasis for this year and will accent understanding of the heritage which is ours in Home Missions. Adults will study The Dreamer Cometh by W.A. Carleton. The book for young people, His to Command, is written by Harold Dye. No Greater Heritage by A.B. Cothran is the book for intermediates. Juniors will study Sawgrass Missionary by Elizabeth Province.
That's an attractive title, don't you think? Sawgrass. I guess saw and straw are alike. This book is about Willie King, who was one time home missionary among the Seminole Indians in Florida. Now, let's see. Haven't we missed a book, Lorella?
Yes, the one for primaries is Blue Flower by Jacqueline Durham. This one also includes work with Indians built around the story of Miss Pauline Kamak, one of our pioneer missionaries in the Southwest.
Well, you see, I have already made some observations concerning some of the promotion that you girls have been doing and planning for these study books. But I want to call attention to a fact that I think is quite pertinent at this point. In 1959, more mission study books were taught than in the previous year, but it still leaves an average of less than 1.5 books taught per year by our WMU organization. Now, you know what? We ought to do better than that.
Changing the subject, but still dealing with the world awareness aim, I'd like to comment on a major concern in the WMS department. It regards magazine subscriptions. Last year, less than 1/2 of our WMS members received Royal Service. This is of major concern to us. Since the magazine, carrying missionary information and promotional features, plus the monthly program, is vital in developing world awareness. And this is short of our Jubilee goal for 1955 of 55% of the members subscribing. We'll have to increase a lot to make our goal of 60% this year.
Well, now this is a good time to talk about the other magazines. How are the youth magazines done in percentage of numbers subscribing?
Circulation of the window has reached 48,000, but this is still short of the Jubilee goal last year of 55% subscribing.
Ms. Mack, the GA department is proud of the fact that we met and even went over the 55% goal last year.
We figure Sunbeam Activity subscriptions on the basis of the number of subscriptions per organization. Since that magazine goes to leaders, we have an average of about 2.1 magazines per organization.
Well, it's quite obvious that some of these figures are more encouraging than others, but we all hold the responsibility for gaining a wider circulation for all of our magazines. Anybody got any ideas?
Well, Miss Mack, it seems to me that one of the biggest potential boosts in subscriptions can come by encouraging our organizations to put these subscriptions in their WMU budgets. I was pleased last year, this January, when our WMU board agreed to recommend this plan for our promotion this fall. Increasingly, I think our WMU organizations are being included in the church budget just as other organizations. And as this is true, our magazines can be provided just as Sunday school and training union literature are provided.
The 1960-61 WMU yearbook will carry this suggestion to our churches.
When this plan is put into practice, our circulation should increase tremendously.
And the wonderful thing is that more members will be receiving the benefits of our missionary magazines.
Well, now, before we leave our magazines, we might give some attention to missionary programs. You know, when we mention programs, we think primarily in terms of the types that we have in GA and YWA and WMS. Of course, these programs utilize a variety of presentations and techniques and follow similar lines of development. But you know, the Sunbeam Band takes an entirely different approach Abby, what kind of programs do you have in Sunbeam Band?
The Sunbeam Band meeting is divided into two parts, one known as the small group activities and the other as large group activities. The small group activity is a successful way of teaching missions to children. Mary and her friends in the beginner Sunbeam Band learn of missions through creative arts, home living activities, books, nature. Playing doctor and nurse helps the child to clarify his thinking about what a doctor can do. It's easy then to explain why we have missionary doctors. Blocks build hospitals, schools, and churches. In these ways, missions come to be understood not as a faraway addition to life, but a part of everyday experience.
Well, what do you do in large group activities?
During the large group activities, the leader hopes to guide the children into worshipful experiences. This period includes songs, stories, prayer time, conversation, the use of the Bible, giving, games, and dramatic play. In all of these, children can learn of God's love for all people and His desire that they should know Him.
Oh, I think I'd like to be a Sunbeam again.
That would be fun.
Well, now, let's don't get sentimental. Let's move along into the area of spiritual life development, or prayer, as we remember this fundamental. Another very vital section of the magazine is our calendar prayer. I've noticed that you employ a variety of ways in the presentation of these. And for the benefit of the other departments, let's share some of our thinking behind your various presentations of the calendar prayer.
Well, you will recall that some time ago, we changed the title in Royal Service to Call to Prayer, as it was listed in our Royal Service. We have found that women appreciate as much information as possible about the missionaries, so we have added a mission illustration and a scripture verse for each day.
This illustration or story is especially helpful when the prayer calendar is used in WMS meetings. It helps personalize the prayer time.
With the July issue of the window, we are adding to each day in the prayer calendar a missionary's comments about prayer needs and answered prayer.
Along the same line of helps for making the prayer experience more meaningful, you'll recall that in TEL we recently named our calendar prayer, Prayer Time, using clocks showing the times in various parts of the countries.
This is just another attempt to help the girl understand the prayer needs for those for whom she prays.
Well, now from reports and observation, what's your impression of the use that our members are making of this calendar prayer?
My observation is that almost all groups I visit use the calendar of prayer in their meetings.
And not only are they using the prayer calendar, they are devising attractive and meaningful ways of using it.
I know of several churches using it in prayer meeting and in their church worship service.
Recently, the feature in Royal Service about the Davis Woolley family using the calendar of prayer and family worship was excellent. It would be fine if family groups would include this mission concern in their daily devotions.
Well, I can't help but believe that our women and young people are feeling more deeply the absolute dependence of our missionaries on our prayers. The missionaries themselves have been persistent in keeping this before us.
You know, whenever we come to this subject, the words of Robert Speer in his little booklet, Prayer and Missions, are my constant reminder of our responsibility as individuals and as an organization. He says, deeper than the need of men, deeper far than the need for money, deep down at the bottom of our spiritless life is the need for the forgotten secret of prevailing worldwide prayer.
One of the things which impressed me about our committees who planned the weeks of prayer for foreign and home missions next year was their intense earnestness about the vital relationship these weeks of prayer have to our mission advance.
Their reports to the executive board prove this concern. You'll remember that Mrs. Clem Hardy, Texas WMU president, was chairman of the Home Missions Week of Prayer Committee.
To serve with the committee to make plans for the 1961 Week of Prayer for Home Missions. Others serving on the committee are Miss Almarine Brown, Arizona, Mrs. Robert Fling, Oklahoma, Mrs. J.R. Lobau, Kansas, Mrs. R.L. Crozier, Missouri. Mrs. Mathis and Miss Hunt served as ex officio members. We have chosen Romans 10, 1:15a as our scripture for the week. Our theme and daily topics are taken from these verses. I have asked Mrs. Lobau to read portions of Romans 10. Then the members of the committee will tell more of the plans.
My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?
The theme we have chosen from verse 1 is, My prayer to God, that they might be saved. We are suggesting a different method of presentation for each day. The program plans for Wednesday will be especially effective. The topic will be the same Lord over all. The program material will be a simple 20-minute dramatic presentation adaptable for a day meeting or a night meeting.
To illustrate home missions visually, our committee has planned for a large poster in color to be used by societies and YWA groups. An illustrated folder giving daily topics, pertinent facts, and prayer reminders will be available for each WMS member. The Young Woman's Auxiliary Department will prepare an announcement and preparation folder for individual use in the YWA. An illustrated letter will be provided for GA counselors to mail to each member of Girls Auxiliary. Oh yes, something entirely new this year will be a small adhesive telephone sticker to be available free to WMS members as a prayer reminder.
This is only a brief look at the plans we have for the 1961 Week of Prayer for Home Missions. In Royal Service, the youth magazines, Home Missions, and your state paper, you will be reading more about the details of this committee's report.
Miss Josephine Jones, Executive Secretary of Florida WMU, was chairman of the 1960 Foreign Mission Week of Prayer Committee.
4 committee members have worked with me, and I would like to introduce them. Mrs. J.I. Alford, Georgia, Miss Bernice Elliott, New Mexico, Miss Margaret Hutchison, Oklahoma, Mrs. B. Lloyd Parsons, Birmingham. Mrs. Mathis and Miss Hunt were ex officio members. We consulted the staff of each department before making any final recommendations. As we talked together of the revolutions and political unrest in every area of the world, and as we consider the population explosion, we came to feel that God was leading us to suggest the theme, His peace for the multitudes.
In seeking to make these observances actually prayer meetings, we have chosen to use the term presentation instead of daily program. After a meditation and scripture period, reading period each day, a woman will tell one story from the mission field related to the topic for that day. We hope this story will present the need so graphically that it will be a call to prayer and a call to sacrificial giving.
To encourage prayer for foreign missions in the home during the week of prayer for foreign missions, we are asking that prayer reminders be designed and made available for free distribution. We suggest that these cards be placed on the breakfast table, reminding the entire family to pray every day for foreign missions. When each woman comes to the daily prayer meeting, she will be given a folder of prayer promises and selected scriptures to use in the opening meditation period.
We have planned some attractive visuals to stimulate interest in the week of prayer. A poster will be sent to each woman's missionary society and each young woman's auxiliary. This colorful poster can be used to announce the week of prayer and later as an interest center for the meeting. A program folder bearing the same design will be available as a priced item.
The youth organizations were also included in our planning. In addition to the poster, an announcement and preparation folder will be available for each YWA member prior to the week of prayer. A prayer reminder that glows in the dark will be provided for each Girls Auxiliary member. A picture sheet will be supplied for each Sunbeam band. It is our hope that these materials will not be just gadgets, but that each will be used as an integral part of this week of prayer for foreign missions.
Our reports last year show that about 60% of our organizations observe the Foreign Mission Week of Prayer, and 59% observe the Week of Prayer for Home Missions. Now, this leaves a very wide margin for improvement. But now then to AIM 3, Christian Witnessing or Community Missions. You know, I was quite encouraged when I read the reports, for I discovered that they show an increase of 6,000 organizations doing directed to community missions. And no doubt some of this was due to the Jubilee Advance emphasis last year on Christian witnessing.
Well, I know the WMS members really responded to the study of Christian witnessing by Dr. Floyd Barnard. Many have commented that this study was a big help in defining opportunities for witnessing in the community.
The thing I came to appreciate all over again as I read the book Christian Witnessing is the flexibility of the program and its ability to reach the need of every community.
That's quite true, but we've got a long way to go in this respect, but we do seem to be moving in the right direction. This is especially true in the area of race relations. Many WMS groups have faced realistically the challenge of contemporary problems and have shown real courage in their efforts to exemplify a Christian spirit.
We have heard of many societies who have interracial ministries as a part of their community missions work. I hope that we can strengthen this ministry in the future.
We have heard of many societies who have interracial ministries, and it is my understanding that most interracial activities are planned through an interracial committee, Ms. McMurray. In your experience, what seems the best approach in organizing such a committee? What are some types of work in which they engage?
Why, we already have the committee organized. It's a community missions committee. And it's highly important that women be appointed on this committee that are both vitally interested in interracial relationships and willing to plan activities in connection with and consultation with leaders in minority groups. Now, you know, the type of work to be undertaken are largely dependent on the response and the suggestions of the minority leaders. Now, they'll know what's needed and what both groups can do together to build a better community. Sometimes at the very best work that this committee can do is in that initial meeting with the leadership from another racial or cultural group. And you may be sure now when that first step is taken that ample suggestions of things to do will follow. Well, I think we'd better move along now to the next aim, sharing possessions. As you know, this is our Jubilee Advance emphasis for 1960-61.
Ms. Mack, do we know yet when the new stewardship book will be released?
The exact release date is to be announced later, but its release is planned in time for study the fourth quarter, July, August, and September of 1961.
You know, as we think in terms of increased giving, I've asked Lorella to bring us a comparative report on increases in the cooperative program receipts and the mission offering receipts.
In 1955, cooperative program gifts were $11.5 million. Last year, $17 million. In that same five-year period, combined gifts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and Annie Armstrong offering jumped from almost $6 million to $9.5 million. I think it's interesting to note that each year since 1955, these total offering gifts have jumped around $1 million a year.
Wonderful. I remember the excitement a few days ago when the telegram came to Miss Hunt that the Foreign Mission Board was stating that our 1959 Lottie Moon Christmas offering had reached $7,706,847.29.
That means we went over the goal of 12% increase for last year. Isn't that just wonderful?
Yes, we all have rejoiced in the phenomenal growth of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And I hope we can go over the goal this year for the Annie Armstrong offering for home missions as we did with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
I've heard the Home Mission Board representatives, though, express concern about the offering this year. The heavy snows and the unseasonal weather interrupted many of the weeks of prayer observances.
I thought what Miss Hunt wrote to the WMU executive board members was very good. She said, "I am concerned for the Annie Armstrong offering. We won such a victory last year in lifting that offering above $2 million. It will be hurtful to home missions and to WMU if, because of adverse circumstances, the lift we are rejoicing over in our support of foreign missions is not accompanied by a comparable increase in our offering for home missions."
Well, you know, it's still not too late to give. I hope every woman will read the statements of Dr. Redford and Dr. Cawthon about the significance of the offerings to home and foreign missions. Miss Hunt's new book, Woman's Missionary Union, has these messages.
Yes, and along with these statements is a good discussion of the convention attitude toward the offerings. Women should know that these offerings are approved by the Southern Baptist Convention and are absolutely vital to the missionary enterprise of Southern Baptists.
You know, it just occurred to me, never before has Woman's Missionary Union been in a better position to interpret its programs and aims to its members. With all our aims books being released, all interpretive in nature, and with the new book by Miss Hunt, there is no reason why every WMU member should not be informed and about the principles and purposes undergirding all our work.
I hope every woman is adding the Ames books to her bookshelf as the books are released.
Well, shall we move along to the next aim, educating youth in missions?
Now, Ms. McMurray, that's getting into your bailiwick, and we're really proud of your new book.
Tell us, Mrs. Mack, why was Mildred McMurray used on the book rather than Mrs. William McMurray, as we ordinarily refer to you?
Well, you see, it's customary to write under your own name, though I don't always do it.
That reminds me, Miss Mack, do you remember Billy's comment about the two things she couldn't believe about you?
Oh, yes, that was that I had a first name and that I ever was a baby.
Well, I'm convinced about the first name, but I've never seen your baby picture.
I think it's time to change the subject.
Back to your book, Ms. Mack. Your discussion of the characteristics of youth and the qualities of leadership should help all of our leaders be better leaders and understand better their task. And for one thing sure, your discussions are up to date. Why, you even included the beatnik.
The genius of our program in WMU, as your book points out, is that it is built upon the needs and interest of every age group. This is a fact too often overlooked by leaders, don't you think?
Well, I was indeed mindful of that fact after doing research of the unique way that our program is adapted to our age groups. Now let's look briefly at some parts of our plan tailored to the age group for which they were designed. I think there are three good illustrations, and these will serve our purpose. That's the day camp program for the 8-year-olds and Sunbeam Band, and the Forward Steps for girls' auxiliary members, and the gift Bible ceremony for young women's auxiliary members.
Mrs. McMurray, as the staff is aware, our new programs for the 8-year-old Sunbeam is called World Friends. The 8-year-olds have their own emblem and special activities suited to that age group, though they're still considered a primary Sunbeam band. One of the features